Somebody else might have done a better job putting the word up there, but I'd like to talk about desire today. We've been talking recently about growth, about being able to grow spiritually, try to inspire us for growth in our walk with the Lord. The whole objective of coming here is that we would nurture and help our spiritual man to be able to grow and to gain. And somewhere along the line, I've probably said in relation to this thought or maybe another thought, there's a lot of ways to say it, but we can't put desire in somebody. Old saying is, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. You can catch a wild little rabbit. Probably a lot of us here have caught a little cottontail in our lives, and we try to entice it to eat. We put grass in the box. We put milk in the box. We do all kinds of things to try to entice it to eat. But some of those little bunnies that you get will literally starve to death and never eat something that you've touched because they don't want to. they're afraid of it, or I don't know all the reasons, and I don't know that bunnies think about reasons. I'm just telling you, we know that's what happens. And so I know that no matter how conducive, and I trust our environment here in the chapel is conducive for us to grow spiritually. I mean, that's the intent. But unless we have a desire to grow spiritually, and our walk with the Lord become more real and more vibrant and become stronger and all of that, unless we have a desire for that, it won't happen. You can have food laying all around until it becomes a burden. And if we don't have a desire, there'll be no progress. So I'd like to talk about that a little bit this morning. Have a couple illustrations that I would like to use with the help of the Lord for illustration purposes only. But I'd like to begin in 1 Peter, the second chapter, in the second verse. We read this not so long ago, maybe more than once. Maybe we'll start in verse 1. It says, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envyings and evil speakings," that's all of that terminology identifies who we were before we came to Christ and became a Christian. It says, "As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that we may grow thereby." So the objective of this verse is to bring it to our attention that just like a small newborn baby wants to eat, they want nourishment, and they come here, unless something's wrong with them, a healthy little baby wants to eat. They cry if you don't feed them. They cry if they don't get enough. And they cry if they don't get fed often enough. They cry for other reasons too, maybe, but they let you know, I am hungry. Where is my food? Where is my nourishment? So just as we have left the old life before we come to know the Lord, the intent here is that we would not only have the milk, not only have the nourishment, not only be provided the things that would help us grow, but we must have a desire for that. If we, you know, some little children come into this world and it seems like they have a ravenous appetite. It's just hard to get them full. And usually it shows. They're constantly getting bigger clothes. I mean, that just happens. And there's other little children that get here and it's like, I don't know. I'm just not, you know, eating is not my thing. And that usually shows too. They usually, it's indicated by, they stay in their newborn outfits a little longer than the last one did. And it just, there's a desire, an appetite. So I want us to focus on desire this morning. And I want us to ask ourselves, where is my desire? So I'd like to turn to something Jesus said in Matthew, the 5th chapter. And we know this chapter is containing the Beatitudes. In Matthew chapter 5, we have a passage here that many of the verses begin, blessed. All right? So, looking at Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6, it says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. We also use the word happy to correlate or to be an explanation or a synonym to the word blessed or blessed. So happy are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Did you know that, now I like to be filled when I, no one wants to come to the table to eat and maybe there's a small portion of food on the table and then maybe the person that kind of is head of the household looks around and realizes there's six people and only one piece of pie. And how do you divide a piece of pie into six pieces? Well, you all get just about one bite. That's what it boils down to. And none of us want to come to the table. You young men that's here this morning, if you come to the table and dad said, well, we only got one piece of pie or one piece of cake, we're going to divide this up into six pieces so all of you get one bite. How many of you would think that they would be full? They won't be. I promise you. They'll be looking and making sure everybody eats their bite. And if they don't, they'll say, if you're not going to eat that, I will. That's pretty normal. I wouldn't expect your family to be any different than mine was. So it says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Now, I want to be, all of us say, will probably say, or would probably say, I want to be filled with the Lord's blessings and His goodness. I want to be, I want to have everything that's available to me. I hope all of us want that. But the way to get there is to have desire to hunger and thirst. What does it mean to really hunger and thirst? Sometimes, young people, some of y'all have small children here, and you probably haven't quite got there to this point, but there's going to be a time, we raised four boys, y'all know that, and there came a time that they would come in the house and maybe they had been working or doing something that expended their energy and they'd come in and say, almost before they said, hello, They might say, "You got anything to eat?" They were hungry. They had a desire. They were there was something about them. They come in the house not because they wanted to be in the house, but because they knew that's where the food was. They were hungry and thirsty, and they came in to eat. I would like to bring this point to our attention as well. We said we can use the word happy in place of blessed. I think it could be translated either way from the Greek that it was written in. So did you know that you are most happy when you have a desire for something and you realize the fulfillment of that desire? That if you have a desire and it's not fulfilled, it's kind of a deterrent to your happiness level. And if you're always full, and you don't really have a desire or something, there's just too much of something going on, then your happiness level is not up there. I'm not going to try to give you an illustration there, but if you have an appetite, I like to see children with an appetite. I like to see them say, "Yes, I'll whatever you got to eat, I'll take it." You know, if you come in and somebody is a picky eater. I don't mean to pick on picky eaters this morning, but if you find it hard to sit down at the table and eat what everybody else is eating, then you might be a picky eater. And I'm going to just say that you probably had never really been hungry. And maybe we ought to go drive some T-posts. Or maybe we ought to go shovel something or load some blocks, or I don't know. We ought to do something where you're really hungry. Now, I'm not talking about necessarily eating caviar or something else that might not be down your alley. I'm just talking about beans and taters and corn and fried chicken, you know. And if you come in and you can't handle whatever it is, that's like, I'm sorry, they're probably not really hungry. So, the point I want us to get at right now is if we have an appetite and we're hungry and we're desirous and we can be filled because we have an appetite, that's probably where we're the happiest in life. Make sense? It says, I want to say this about being hungry and thirsty for spiritual growth. This is my testimony about that. Every time that I take the time and sit down with the scripture and allow myself to meditate on what I'm reading. Every time I choose to meditate on something I have read, or maybe a message that I've listened to, because we all have that access now, right? You got a smartphone, you can listen to a message. You got a computer, you can listen to it online. And every time that I apply myself and I have an appetite to consume that kind of material, every time the Lord fills me with something. I have never had a time that I sincerely was reading and meditating on the scripture that I didn't take something home with me. That I didn't take something away from that setting. Now, I've read and got nothing when I didn't have a desire. All right? And you can read the Bible like you read Huck Finn or something else, and you won't get anything out of it. If you don't really have a desire. But I'm talking about if you have a desire for the Lord giving you something, and you read the Word, you meditate upon the Word, I'm going to promise you something. If you have an appetite, you'll get something out of it. If you don't have an appetite for chicken liver, it'll probably get bigger the longer you chew it. Gizzards, that's probably. Y'all ever eat any chicken gizzards? I have. You like them? I like chicken gizzards. But I'm going to tell you, there's parts of it you just swallow. You don't chew it up. Right? And if you chew it, it might keep getting bigger and bigger until you want to spit it out. That's if you don't really like it. And if you give somebody some chicken gizzards that they don't really like, and they don't really want to learn to like it, they're going to spit it out. And they're not going to get nothing out of it. And the next time you say, we're going to have liver and gizzards, they're going to not show up for dinner that night. But if we have a desire and we consume that and we apply ourselves to it, there's going to be happiness and satisfaction and growth that comes out of that. That's what I want us to try to get there. When you're hungry, you will be filled. If you're not hungry, you will be hungry. No, let me say that different. When you're not hungry, you will be empty. When you're not hungry for spiritual growth, you'll wander along and wonder what the meaning of life is. You'll wander along and not really know what it means to be fulfilled or satisfied. And you'll wonder if there's something else besides Christianity and living for God that'll give you some sense of satisfaction or fulfillment in life. And whether you're young, middle-aged, or old, if we don't have that hunger, we'll quit growing. And things, we'll look around and we'll think that I'm finished with growing. Well, I'm finished with growing physically. I'm not going to get any taller. I'm going to get older, but I'm not going to get taller. I'm probably not going to get stronger. There was a time I was getting stronger. There was a time that I was getting taller. There was a time that I was gaining weight. I can still gain weight, but I'd rather not. But if we're not hungry, we're going to begin to look somewhere else for fulfillment, for happiness. We're going to look somewhere else for fulfillment, and we're going to feel like we're empty and we're kind of lost. But if we're hungry for spiritual growth, there'll be spiritual growth. Will you grow like cuckleburrs? Maybe not. But if you're growing like an oak tree, that's a good thing. You're growing. All right? Oak trees grow slow, if you didn't know that. I'd like to give us an illustration here about desire. It may be before I do that. Well, yeah, I'll do that now. Desire. I'll take you back a few years in my life. 1991. working at a Ford dealership in the garage. And Ford had something that they, for the service technicians, they had something called a certified technician program. And what that was a series of three open book tests. And maybe go back another year before that. I'm not sure. It's far enough back that I've kind of forgot the details. But I know in 1991 that they had this series of tests, open book tests, and if you scored well enough on those open book tests, you got to go on to a closed book test. And the closed book test, I had to drive to Oklahoma City to take it. And whoever was the had the highest score on service information in that closed book test won a trip with their spouse to Acapulco, Mexico. And whoever got to go down there, it was all expenses paid. It was either 3 or 4 days, I don't remember. They flew you down there. You got to do several different things. So I thought, you know, if this is worth doing, it's worth really doing. So I had a desire. I'm 25, 26 years old. And so the open book test, I just knew starting out that there was going to be, there could be the potential of error. So I found every question, I don't remember how many questions it was, every time that I found the answer in the service manual or some kind of service publication, I put a note on my paper that I kept my own records. I found it in this service manual on this page. I do exactly where it was at. I may have even underlined it in the service manual. And I submitted my answers, and then once I finished the first test, if I made high enough score, I got the second test, and a high enough score, I got the third test. That's how it worked. So every test, if I missed an answer, if they marked something wrong and I'd found it in the shop manual, I contested their grading system. I wanted to get this the prize. I wanted it really bad. And so I got my answers corrected. They realized that I had found it. It was in the black and white. That's where I found it. I treated this like it was a lawyer's case, you know. And by the time I finished all three of them, I had found every answer on every test. And I qualified to go take the closed book test. And I remember I was reading everything. I'd read so much stuff. I knew sections of the shop manual. I knew what they meant and where to go to look for information. And the whole reason that Ford did this is so that their technicians would have an appetite and a desire to know where to find the right answers to their problems when they were fixing cars, all right? That's what their motivation was. And I took it to an extreme. And on the way down there, I had my wife driving. And I had a big box, a big pile of service bulletins. How do you study service bulletins for 2 or 3 years and they come out every other week and they're 40 pages long? It's hard to pack that much information. But people that cram for college exams, I know all about that because I cram for this exam. And I was reading through, just kind of speed reading and looking at pictures, and I didn't know what the questions was going to be about. And I got to the end. I got down there, and I went in there, and there was no service information. It was like taking a test in high school or college. You know, you sit over here, and you sit over there, so you can't copy off of one another, and all of this. And it's a timed exam. All right, get set, go, open your book, cut the little piece of tape, and so you can open the book. And I began to read those questions, and there was, I can't remember how many questions there were, and I don't remember my score altogether. I just know I didn't make 100% on that. And I got my test back, and I don't remember what I made now, 79, 80%, something, I don't know. It was a passing grade per se, but it wasn't really nothing to write home about. I got that and I thought, oh well, maybe I didn't do so good. All this preparation, maybe I didn't do so well. Went on a few days after that and I get this phone call. Phone call from somebody way up the line. I didn't know who they were, and they wanted to congratulate me that I was the winner. And the whole United States, there was 26 regions, and I was one of those 26. And we got to go to Acapulco because, was that happiness? Oh, at the moment, it was pretty happy. And I felt fulfilled. But there had been an immense amount of desire. And my desire had driven my reason for studying. And I thought there were several things that happened that I thought was so amusing. After I got the phone call that said I was the winner, I had for my region, I got a letter in the mail that said, "We're sorry to inform you that you weren't the winner." Well, it was because that's what everybody got. Everybody got one of those because there was only one winner. And so they just didn't keep mine from coming. But I really was the winner. I really did get to go. She went with me. She can test. You can ask her about it. So I told that to tell you this. Desire is a powerful thing. Desire will make you write down page numbers so that you can prove you got the right answer. Desire, I remember reading a book called The Life and Conversion of a Kentucky Infidel. And it's a story about Willis M. Brown and how he came to know the Lord and be saved. And he told an account in there of a man that came out of the woods. He was a lumberjack, I guess you would say. He was come to a Brush Arbor meeting, listened to the gospel message, came under conviction, and went to the altar and repented and got saved in that Brush Arbor meeting. And he went back to work, and I don't know what happened, but he felt like he backslid during the course of the day. He may have got angry. He may have done whatever he did. And he came back the next night and ended up repenting. And the third night that he came and repented because he felt like he didn't have the victory. After he prayed through and knew that he was forgiven, he went out there. Told the minister that prayed with him, he says, "I'll be right back." And he went out and got his split and maul and a stake. And he came in and drove that stake by the end of the altar bench. And he said, "Tomorrow when I'm at work and the devil tells me that I didn't pray through and get the victory, I'm going to tell him I know I did, because there's a stake over there at the end of that altar bench that I drove in and that man lives successfully. When you desire to get closer to the Lord, you'll be driving some stakes. When you desire, you'll be writing some page numbers down, and you'll be saying, I've read within the Bible, and I know it's true. You'll be able to resist the enemy, but it's desire that motivates us for the growth. And when the growth happens, we can document it, if you will. We can say, I used to be. When I hear the testimonies of those that have been addicted to alcohol or to drugs or lifestyles that were not pleasing to God, and I hear you say, the Lord delivered me and somebody offered me, tried to flag me down and give me some alcohol, and it was like, no, I don't want any of that. It's because you had a desire for growth, and growth has made you happy with the success that you, and you, there's no appetite for that. It's because you have a desire and you're wanting the spiritual growth, and you're filled with that, and that's what makes you happy in your life. Now, I want us to get the idea that desire is the driving force behind spiritual growth. We can lay the food out. We can give you the recipe. We can give you all the ingredients. But if you don't have the drive, if you don't have the desire, you probably won't get it. You'll probably, maybe later you can tell me, but there's probably somebody here that don't like chicken gizzards. Just the idea sounds pretty gross. But I'm going to tell you, if you haven't learned how to eat gizzards, you're missing out. If you have a desire to eat chicken gizzards, I believe you can learn how to eat them and learn how to enjoy them. I'd like to turn to Luke, the 22nd chapter, and notice something else that Jesus said. Jesus was coming to the end of his ministry. And he had a desire that his disciples would be successful and that they would take the message on to the world. And they did. They did. But listen to Luke 22, beginning in verse 13. He says, and they went and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. This is going to be the Last Supper. And when the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him, and he said unto them, with desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. But he said, with desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Before I come to the concluding chapter of my ministry here on this earth, there is something that is driving me that wants to impart the last minute instructions I can give you. And that's what happened at the what we call the Last Supper. It's when Jesus had the Passover with his disciples the very last time. And I want us to know that desire causes urgency. We're kind of springboarding or hinging off of spiritual growth. But I'm going to tell you, no matter how good, you can go to, what's this place down here in Joplin that you can go in and they've got, if they stretched out the food bar, it'd be longer than this chapel. It'd be 100 feet long. Golden Corral, right? You can go in there and you can have shrimp, fried chicken, steak, baked potato, mashed potato, hash brown. I don't know what all they got. They got everything you can think of three different ways. And you know, if you go in there and you're not, and you don't have any desire to eat, you can walk out with an empty belly. You could. You probably won't, but you could. But if you don't have any desire to eat the things that will make us grow, we won't grow. You can have a Bible by your bed. You can have a Bible at the table. You can have a Bible in your car. But if you don't use it for anything, or if you just read it like you're reading the newspaper, take it or leave it, you won't grow. I knew a man, worked on his truck, that carried some kind of Bible on his dash. And we tried to talk a little bit about spiritual things, and he told me he had this book, and I said, "Well, do you ever read it?" And his answer to me was kind of amusing, because it ultimately meant he didn't read it. He just carried it along kind of like a rabbit foot. You know, people carry rabbit's feet along for good luck sometimes. Sometimes they hang them on a chain and put them over the rearview mirror. But this man had a little Bible of sorts up on the dash. And he carried that kind of as a good luck charm, help him keep out of accidents, maybe keep him from getting stopped for speeding, or I don't know what all his logic was, but he had it on. You know, we don't carry, if you carry the scripture around like a good luck charm, you're not going to grow. You're just not. But if you have a desire to eat the word, to consume the word, I promise you, my testimony is, and I believe it'll work for everybody here, if we'll take the time to read it, to meditate on it, that's a key ingredient. If we'll take the time to think about it, whether you read two verses or two chapters, I don't care, but if you'll take time to think about it and ask the Lord, how does this apply to me? There'll be growth that happens. You just try it. But if we don't have the desire, there'll be no growth. So I got another illustration to give you. It happened to me many years ago. I was trying to remember the time stamp, and maybe my wife can help me a little bit, or somebody else here. Many years ago, I came out here this way to see Anita. And it happened to be the weekend that Sister Ruth Murphy's funeral was at Monarch, I believe, right? And I don't remember what weekend it was, but they held her funeral down underneath the tabernacle at Monarch. And the plan was that, I think it had already been planned for the young people to get together at Brother James Bell's house in Springfield that weekend. And she passed away, so they had her funeral at Monarch, maybe that morning. It was a Saturday, I believe. So I came from the Boot Hill and drove a long ways because it was 55 miles an hour and the roads weren't near as nice as they are today. It's been a few decades ago. And I got to Brother James's place and there wasn't anybody there. And it seems like I called, as I don't remember who I called, and said, "Well, they're probably all still at Monarch." So I got back in my car and I drove to Monarch Springs from Springfield, hour and a half drive, and I get there and the funeral was over and everybody had left. And there was just a few of, I'm going to say, old people, they were my age, that was there cleaning up in the dining hall and kind of putting things back in order. And they said, "Well, they're..." And when I got there, I asked them, you know, "Where's Anita?" And I talked to her grandmother, her Grandma Eck, and I got there. She was in the kitchen. I don't know. They were cleaning up pots and pans and putting things back in order. And she's not here. I think that she went with the other young people. She went to Brother James's house over at Springfield. I didn't offer to help them clean up nothing. I got back in my car and I drove back to Springfield. And I, by the time I got there, it was getting towards the end of whatever they were doing. I think it was, I don't remember if it was dark or not. They had a, I just remember we had a bonfire and was roast, making s'mores and things like that out there. But I wasn't there to see her grandma. I'm sorry, I wasn't there to see anybody else. I drove all that way to see her. That's what my desire was. And my desire drove what I did. Right? My desire caused me to turn around. I guess it made an impression on her grandma. She told her later. But when we have a desire for spiritual growth, we're going to grow. You have a desire to learn something, study information, and pass a test, you're going to be able to learn something. I'm speaking to those of us, I think we're normal people here this morning. You don't have handicaps. You don't have limitations. You're not mentally impaired or anything like that. And so if you have a desire, you're going to see some fulfillment. If you desire growth, if you have a desire to have a spiritual appetite, it doesn't matter where you start, but just start. Just have a desire. Lord, what can I do to draw closer to you? What can I do to gain some spiritual ground? I want to grow. Maybe I'll grow like a willow tree, and maybe I'll grow like an oak tree. It doesn't matter. Maybe I'll grow like a surprise lily. Y'all know how that happens. You go out there and one day the thing is shot up 10, 12 inches out of the ground and there's a bloom on it. And maybe you won't grow like that. But that big oak tree that I have at my house started from an acorn. And it started somewheres. And it's been growing for probably 200 years. I don't know. I just know that when I hook my tape measure on it and I walk around the trunk, it's 16 feet around it or a little more. It's a big tree. It's been growing a long time. An old man told me 20 years ago it was old when I was young. And I know if you add all that up, it was at least 100 years ago when he was young. It's been a big tree all his life. And maybe that's your aspiration, but you got to start. And if you don't keep your desire up, what did Jesus say? Be happy. I'm going to paraphrase it. You'll be happy if you hunger and thirst after righteousness because you'll be filled. If we'll hunger and thirst, if we'll have a desire, we'll be filled. Yes, there's going to be some times that we take something in and it don't taste so good. It may be like a chicken gizzard. It may have a little gristle in it. That's what chicken gizzards are good for, is they got a little gristle in it. Don't try to chew it up, just swallow it. That's just my tip for the day. It won't hurt nothing. It'll digest just fine. I got one more scripture, and I want to conclude this. Let's go to Psalms chapter 42, the 42nd Psalm. I want us to notice the first two verses. It says, "As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God." My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? As a heart panteth after the water brook. You know, an animal that runs, an animal that expends energy, is going to be looking for a place to get a drink. And if we have been expending and exerting our energy, we're going to be looking for a place to drink. And if we're looking, we're desiring something to satisfy that thirst. If we have a desire today, just remember what my testimony is. And I believe it'll work for you. If you have a desire, if you're hungering and thirsting, if your heart, your H-E-A-R-T, is thirsting after the Lord, like the H-A-R-T, that's a deer, right? If your heart is hungry and thirsting after the Lord's going to give you something. He's going to give you something, and you're going to be able to add it to your defense, add it to your spiritual structure, add it to your spiritual life, and you will be able to look back and say something like, "Hitherto hath the Lord helped us." You're going to be able to look back and recognize that was a time when I was able to grow a little bit. Or maybe it was like a surprise lily. Maybe it was something that caused me to springboard ahead. And I'm not here to try to regulate growth. I'm here because I want us to cultivate a desire for growth. Growth is real. Growth can happen. But, oh dear ones, cultivate that desire. Let your desire be one that drives you to document, drives you to hunger and thirst after righteousness, because you will be filled. You pray for me.